United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Mary J. Schulman presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. My name is Judge Schulman. To my right is Judge Greenberg. To my left is Judge Allen. I note today that we're joined by a group of interns from the Department of Defense. Thank you. Welcome. We're here today to hear the case of Ronald L. Burton versus Peter O'Rourke. Well, actually, yes, he's still the Acting Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Docket number 162037. Would counsel for each party please note your appearance for the record?
Jill Davenport of the National Veterans Legal Services Program for the appellant. And with me is Caitlin Milo, also of the National Veterans Legal Services Program.
Your Honor, my name is Lavinia Burr from the VA General Counsel's Office. And with me is co-counsel at Deputy Chief Counsel, Janine Scott.
Thank you. Does appellant's counsel wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 7 minutes.
7 minutes. You may begin when ready.
May it please the court. In order to have a rating in excess of 10%, Mr. Burton must require systemic therapy, such as corticosteroids or immunosuppressives, on a more than intermittent basis. There can be no debate that Mr. Burton uses systemic immunosuppressives, Benadryl, because it is taken orally. We also have a cream which, although topically applied, may also be systemic therapy for purposes of the regulation. However, VA failed to develop this issue, and that is why we're here today.
How can it be, I think that on your second point, the topical treatment that can be systemic, what is your understanding of what the Federal Circuit meant in Johnson when it says that we agree with the Secretary that the use of a topical corticosteroid could be considered either systemic therapy or topical therapy based on the factual circumstances of each case. So what does that mean to you?
Yes, Your Honor. The Federal Circuit held that Johnson, as a matter of law, topically applied medications can be systemic therapies, and the linchpin of that determination is based on the effects, whether it affects the body as a whole. Therefore, the fact that a medication is applied topically is not dispositive to the question. It's the effects and whether it affects the body as a whole.
So here's the, right, and I agree, right, the Federal Circuit says that, and so if you look at the last, basically the last part of the Federal Circuit's opinion, last paragraph before conclusion, that's what it says. Earlier in the opinion, it referred to placing the topical treatment on a larger part of the body, mm-hmm. right, sort of geography-based,
right.
so to speak. And so my question is, do you understand the Federal Circuit to be saying that is an example of a factual circumstance that can make something that is applied topically systemic, or that is the way something applied topically becomes systemic?
The scope of the application does not seem to be the relevant inquiry upon which the Federal Circuit relied. It's our position that the kind of the scope of application that the Federal Circuit used was just an example of how one particular circumstance of a topically applied medication could be systemic therapy. And that's, I believe, something that both of the parties agreed as well.
Well, so what's interesting, I've been wrestling mm-hmm. with this particular question that I'm asking you about Johnson, because if you read one part of it, you know, it's like the picture where you can see either the lion's head or the profile of the woman.
Right.
It depends
yeah.
on how you read the case at a given moment to see what's there. And so right after the sentence that I read to you about factual circumstances, the Federal Circuit cited to the Secretary's reply brief, because, of course, the sentence said, we agree with the Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually went and looked at the reply brief in the Federal Circuit, and what the Secretary says is, the factual circumstance is putting it on more of the body. So although the Federal Circuit makes a very general statement here, its citation is to the Secretary's statement that it's essentially that is the way that the topical becomes systemic. And so what would you tell the court to do if we think that the Federal Circuit, with great respect to Dolly Madison House, is sort of speaking out of two sides of its mouth? In other words, the Johnson doesn't have a firm footing. Which is the better rule to adopt and why?
I believe that the better rule to adopt here is based on the Federal Circuit's adopted definitions based on Dorland's dictionary of what systemic and topical is. So in Johnson, the Federal Circuit and the parties adopted the definition of topical as applied to a particular area and affecting only that area. Therefore, it appears that the Federal Circuit's decision and its holding is central to that inquiry about that second part, which is not only the scope of application, but more particularly the effect of that application, as opposed to its other definition of systemic therapy, which was affecting the body as a whole. Every time a veteran has a topical application or medication for a skin disability, a medical opinion must be obtained to ascertain whether the medication has a systemic effect, and therefore,
yes. If I can interject, you just said whether it has a systemic effect. What exactly does that mean? In your brief, you talked about there are side effects from some of this veteran's medication, mm-hmm. and then you talked about, in one line, you said that it stated that it had a systemic effect. How exactly do you define systemic effect?
Systemic effect is when the effect is in more than just the particular area where the medication is applied. So, for example, I believe the Federal Circuit mentioned, and this court in the previous Johnson case mentioned, the example of a nicotine patch, where it is applied to one particular area and then affects the body as a whole.
Is effect really the right inquiry? Because the language of the regulation uses systemic therapy, not systemic effect. So,
yes, Your Honor. I believe that based on the Federal Circuit's holding, systemic therapy is defined as a medication that has an effect on the body as a whole, systemic being body as a whole. So said differently, systemic therapy is a medication that affects more than just a particular area. It affects the body as a whole.
And that effect could include a side effect?
Yes, Your Honor.
Doesn't every medication basically have side effects, though?
Every medication does have side effects.
So then wouldn't that swallow the language or make the language surplusage to differentiate between topical that have systemic effects and topical that does not, if every drug basically has side effects that could affect the body as a whole?
Well, every medication, most medications have side effects. Not every veteran or person is affected by those potential side effects. Many veterans use medications without any side effects.
So your inquiry would be individualized based on what the veteran is actually experiencing as opposed to what the treatment itself could cause?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. I'm curious about that because, first of all, every medication could have side effects. Let's just stipulate that every medication does, right? Because any self-respecting drug company will say there could be a side effect, right? But some of the side effects could very well themselves be localized, right? In other words, not every side effect would be systemic, if we want to, you know, use that word. But why would it necessarily be the case that one would have to develop a side effect for the particular therapy to be deemed to be systemic? So I was speaking with somebody the other day about this very question, and I assumed that there was some horrific side effect. A little medicine's applied on your toe, mm-hmm. and the side effect that's potential is that one out of every 1 million people, because of the way it affects the body, you grow the head of an animal, right? So you got two heads, one of them's a cheetah. My veteran didn't grow a cheetah head, but But does that mean necessarily that the therapy wasn't systemic? Because it did, you know, it affected the body as a whole. It just didn't produce the side effects. So I'm wondering why one would necessarily have to draw the distinction that you would have the side effect. And the follow-up is, I don't think there's any evidence in the record that your client had any of the potential side effects that you mentioned.
So if I understand your first question, you're asking why we are looking for side effects as in general?
Well, it's that the way this is going to come out is more pointed than I mean, and I don't mean it that way. I think you just gave up a lot a second ago when you answered Judge Sholin's question, okay? Because your answer was something can be systemic because it produces a side effect somewhere else in the body from where it's applied.
That the veteran actually experiences.
Correct.
Right, that the veteran actually experienced. Right? What I'm trying to get, and maybe that's the right answer, and maybe we just accept your concession that that's it. But if a drug has the ability to cause something in some other part of the body, why shouldn't that be the rule? That simply because there is a risk that, you know, if you put it on your toe, you're going to grow the head of a cheetah, it's a systemic therapy. The mere fact that you didn't grow the head doesn't mean that it isn't. I'm not saying which one is right, mm-hmm. but we would need to have to draw a principled line between the two. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Your Honor, I understand now. Thank you for your clarification. Considering that the Federal Circuit specifically said that in each particular factual scenario, it indicates that it's on a more fact-based or veteran-by-veteran basis, which is why in this case it's so important to have a medical opinion, because as you said, not every veteran will grow the head of a cheetah when taking a particular medication. And without a medical opinion to determine whether or not the veteran is experiencing side effects related to that medication, it's impossible to know.
Except to follow on, let's assume mm-hmm. that's true, and then this gets you back to Judge Sholin's original question, which is, okay, you need a medical opinion. But in this case, we wouldn't need a medical opinion about side effects because there's no evidence that there were any side effects. It wasn't applied on a large portion of the body, whatever large is defined as. Mm-hmm. Is there then any other avenue by which you think something can reach systemicness such that a medical opinion would be required in this case?
Before you answer then, I thought there are a lot of side effects with this veteran.
Yes, Your Honor, if I may.
I thought there was a whole litany of side effects.
Yes, Your Honor, so there are a tremendous number of potential side effects to
potential.
All.
Potential.
No, actual. Didn't he complain about a whole list of conditions?
So in this particular case, Your Honor, Mr. Burton has a lot of medical evidence in the record that suggests that some of his symptoms may be related. Excuse me, I misspoke. Mr. Burton's the potential side effects of Mr. Burton's medications, for example, include body aches or coughing. Those are both potential side effects of clobetasol, a cream which Mr. Burton is using for his tinea pedis. There is evidence of body aching and coughing in the record. However, the issue of whether those side effects are actually, or excuse me, those symptoms are actually side effects of Mr. Burton's clobetasol usage is still an outstanding medical determination to be developed.
Because the VA didn't give him an exam.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Page 10, body aches, pain, skin color changes, congestion or cough, dryness or soreness of the throat, headaches. It's a whole paragraph full of these things.
Yes,
why
sir.
Don't you emphasize that?
So, Your Honor, I believe on page 10...
Why shouldn't he get a doctor to tell him whether this is a result of this condition, whether it's systemic?
Yes, Your Honor.
Whether it isn't?
Exactly. And in this particular case, because Mr. Burton is a layperson, Mr. Burton is incapable of providing that medical opinion. He's not competent to provide a nexus opinion to determine whether any potential symptoms that he's experiencing are indeed side effects of his medication.
Sorry, just to clarify
yes.
and to be fair for your opposing counsel, in your brief, you argue that there are possible side effects of using clobetasol. You don't actually assert anywhere that he experienced these body aches or...
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. On page 10, those are listed side effects from the FDA website of potential side effects of clobetasol. Those are not side effect. We're not asserting that Mr. Burton has experienced all of those side effects.
Are you, just to tie this up, mm-hmm. right, because, so I'm thinking very practically, right, one of us is going to have to sit down and try to explain avenues by which we can implement Johnson by mm-hmm. traversing from a topical thing to something that is systemic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We know the Federal Circuit gave us one size on the body. That one's not going to cut it here. Everybody agrees with that. Second one we're talking about is potential side effects mm-hmm. that the veteran experiences.
Correct.
Not the risk of them, apparently, but let's just take that for a given.
Mm-hmm.
Is there evidence in this record that your client experienced any of the things that are side effects mm-hmm. from the drug?
Yes, Your Honor. So as discussed in our facts section, Mr. Burton has experienced body aches. I don't believe we cited this in our brief, but he's experienced coughing. Those are both potential side effects of clobetasol. But again, there's no medical opinion that has affirmatively stated that any of those symptoms are side effects of his medication as opposed to attributable to some other disease or diagnosis. And that is the crux of the problem in this case because VA never developed that evidence in the first instance. It's already been determined based on VA's own regulation that it does need to develop that evidence. By using the term systemic therapy, the VA has made clear that it needs that information before it's able to properly determine how to appropriately rate a veteran for a skin ratings case. In this case, again, because there is no medical opinion to that effect, VA just simply did not have the information it needed to properly rate Mr. Burton and determine what potential side effects his medications have caused him.
Well, isn't that really what you're arguing here? Again, my colleague points out that this is the FDA warnings on this particular drug, but you argue that his daily use of this topical corticosteroid could have systemic effects, just conceding for the moment that that's the appropriate standard that we're dealing with. So, by the way, I think I was one of the judges that was reversed in this case by the Federal Circuit. So I have a slightly different point of view. I think I ruled for the veteran, such that he would be entitled to a 60% rating for his tinea pedis. You cite to a regulation and the diagnostic code. So is that what you're really arguing, that without a doctor's opinion, how can you conclude whether this has the potential for systemic effect as described above?
Yes, Your Honor, that's the heart of our argument for three particular. For three particular reasons, we believe that a medical opinion is so important in this case. First of all, as I previously mentioned, VA has already stated by using these terms in this regulation that it needs this information, and it has failed to develop that issue in this case.
Which regulation are you talking about?
The diagnostic code, Your Honor, DC 7806.
But that doesn't say you need a medical exam, right?
No, Your Honor, but it says that it needs to know whether the medications used are systemic therapies or topical therapies.
Right, and although, as I'm going to ask the Secretary's counsel in a bit, you know, there's an M21 provision out there that M21-1 provision that seems to be quite inconsistent with Johnson because it says unequivocally that a topical can't be systemic.
Yes,
right,
sir.
So doesn't that suggest that maybe the regulation doesn't say you always need to do that?
So my understanding is the M21-1 provision has been in effect since prior to the Federal Circuit's decision in Johnson, and therefore it is based on the Secretary's misinterpretation of the regulation as held by the Federal Circuit. Another reason that it's so important to have a medical opinion in this case is because there's no reason for Mr. Burton to report these symptoms to his doctor without prompting, for several reasons. First, he may not even know to report that he has these potential side effects, and he's certainly not competent to attribute any symptoms he's experiencing to the medications that he's taking. He may think headaches are just a common occurrence or related to stress or tension. As a layperson, Mr. Burton cannot make that connection. And then another reason is that the administrative burden on the agency to develop this issue without a medical opinion would be immense. It would require adjudicators to have an encyclopedic knowledge of every potential medication, every potential side effect, then scour the record looking for any of those potential symptoms, and then still going out and getting a medical opinion to determine whether those symptoms are attributable to the medications taken during that same time period. To do otherwise would result in the VA VA adjudicators offering a medical opinion, their own unsubstantiated medical opinion in violation of Colvin.
You looked at the FDA website, and you listed a bunch of things that could happen.
Yes, Your Honor.
Can't the VA do that, too? They look at Dorland's, for example.
Absolutely.
Or the physician's desk reference, perhaps.
Absolutely. The VA can certainly do that, but they would still need to get a medical opinion at the end of the day to connect those two, to offer that nexus opinion.
Well, if the veteran didn't have any of the symptoms listed, perhaps they wouldn't need an exam.
Perhaps, but again, as a layperson, I'm not sure that Mr. Burton or any other veteran would know to report every potential side effect or every potential symptom that he or she is experiencing, much less know all the potential side effects of the medications.
So you're proposing that VA conduct an exam or medical opinion in every single instance that a veteran is prescribed some sort of topical application for a skin disorder?
Yes, Your Honor, we are. We need a medical... Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What's wrong with that? Perfectly sensible, isn't it?
I believe so, yes, Your Honor.
Is this a non-commissioned officer with 30 years? Very outstanding service, by the way.
Yes, Your Honor.
May I suggest that you reverse the order in which you list his decorations?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you.
Put the most significant ones first. In case the judges stop reading.
So both generically and then as it relates to Mr. Burton, are there, again, going back to ways in which something can go from being a topically applied treatment to one that is systemic? Okay, one is something about side effects. We've been wrestling with that.
Right.
We've got the geography of the body. Are there other ways that one could go? So, for example, could something be, quote, something that affects the body as a whole, to take from Johnson, by the way in which it affects its job? And so what I mean by that is, okay, I have athlete's foot, I put the cream on my mm-hmm. foot, and the way it operates medically is it just sort of touches on the little areas and it's all better.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I put it on my foot and actually the way it works is it cycles through my bloodstream and it'll take care of the fungus wherever mm-hmm. it is. It happens to be on the foot. So in the sense I could have put it behind my ear and it would have done the same job.
Right.
I mean, is that another way in which perhaps something could be transformed from a topically applied something into a systemic therapy?
Yes, Your Honor. And the medical determination would be how that medication works. And it works by affecting the body as a whole.
And so that's something like the nicotine patch example,
yes,
right?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. Exactly. This court should remand Mr. Burton's case.
Wait. Oh, don't sum up.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Don, if you could add a minute, please. With regard to whether a doctor has to opine whether it's topical or systemic, isn't there evidence in this record that doctors said that he has a topical application or topical treatment?
In the 2011 VA examination report, the physician used the word, excuse me, on the DBQ, there was an option for topical corticosteroids and an option for systemic. However, VA's DBQ was based on the misinterpretation of the regulation that topical and systemic are mutually exclusive. So I believe this is borne out in the VA's clinician's guide, in that it instructs examiners to determine whether a medication is systemic or topical. However, as the Federal Circuit concluded, a topically applied medication can have a systemic effect and therefore be systemic therapy for purposes of the regulation.
Don, can you please add another minute?
Yeah.
Yes?
I keep seeing, you know, I'm the oldest judge on the court, so I'm looking at all these ads for all these old age ailments and all these bad things that can happen to you. And I just saw one recently where you wear a patch on your arm to cure cancer, a certain type of cancer. I think it's called Neulasta, or I may have it wrong. But you wear a patch on your arm to cure something that affects your entire body, theoretically. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will work, maybe it won't work, maybe it was wrongly prescribed and so forth. But doesn't that suggest that maybe the approach should be on a case-by-case basis and a doctor should take a look at the situation here and decide?
Absolutely, Your Honor, and that is why a medical opinion is so important in this case and why we're requesting that the court vacate and remand Mr. Burton's case to provide that VA medical opinion.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You, Your Honor.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. In this case, Johnson has made clear that there are two types of therapy, a systemic therapy and topical therapy. Appellant's use of his various topical medications for tinea pedis or his foot fungus constitutes topical therapy. Topical therapy means treatment, medication means treatment pertaining to a particular specific area that does not affect the body as a whole. In this case, a topical medication is applied to a certain area of the skin, his foot, and then it's used to treat his foot fungus. Appellant's topical treatment is not systemic because the therapeutic treatment deals with one particular part of the body.
So, but how do we know that, right? In other words, I mean, that would have been a particularly sensible position to take, and I think it's the position that still, even after Johnson, is listed in the M21-1, that something that is applied topically cannot be systemic.
Yes, Your Honor, but we do agree with the court in Johnson that the board is not bound, neither the board or the court is bound by the M21-1 manual, but I do agree, concede that it is there that says topical medication can never be systemic therapy. However, the Johnson court did say that if it's applied to a large enough portion of the body, then it can be considered systemic therapy.
So I'll come back to that question in a second, but just sticking with the M21-1 for a second,
yes,
right?
Your
yes,
Honor.
Right. Well, it definitely does not bind the court and doesn't bind the board, but we'll be talking about that in other cases. But right now, for the line raters at the ROs, they follow the M21-1, and I mean, it is inconsistent with Johnson.
Yes, Your Honor, that particular line, the M21-1 manual, does state that topical therapy cannot be systemic therapy.
And that's inconsistent with Johnson, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Even on your understanding of Johnson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Then wouldn't you think the Secretary should fix that?
Your Honor, there is a proposed rule. It has not been passed.
Why would we need a proposed rule? The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit has instructed what the law is. There is nothing to think about. The Secretary may be able to think, I'm going to limit it specifically to the factual point in Johnson. But there is no question that it's wrong, and there's nothing to think about. Right? I mean, so I would just, you know, from one judge's perspective, you know, the secretary should follow the law. And everybody in this room agrees that is not the law.
And part of our understanding of why the M21-1 is not binding is because it can be changed willy-nilly.
Right.
And so if it can be changed willy-nilly, we need some willy-nilly here.
Yes, Your Honor.
Let me just make sure we're all in agreement here. What do you need a regulation for? You were told what to do by the Federal Circuit. Was it the Secretary? And by the way, have you paid Staub yet?
Paid
the party that the Secretary told the Senate he withdrew the appeal.
Your Honor, I believe that's in the process.
That's right. It's in the process. Now, that was another statutory construction of this court directing the Secretary to do something 2 years ago. Hadn't been paid. Instead, you put out a regulation. Is that what's happening here?
No, Your Honor.
You're going to address this issue of the M21 through a regulation in the face of a decision by the Federal Circuit?
It is a proposed rule to change the M21-1, not change the rule of the regulation.
Why don't you just direct your – why doesn't the Secretary direct the subordinates to follow the decision in the Federal Circuit? In Johnson?
Yes, Your Honor. Johnson is mentioned there, however –
Actually, what you cite, you realize, is actually the wrong Johnson. It's the wrong case. It's a different name, Case Johnson. And so, I mean, it took, I mean, I could have even figured that out with my computer skills, which are really just slightly below Judge Greenberg's. So,
No, mine are below yours.
No, but in all seriousness, this has a dramatic effect because if I am a raider sitting in the St. Petersburg RO, I'm going to look at the M21-1, and I'm going to do what it says. And the Secretary knows that what the M21 says is against the law. There is nothing to propose and think about. And I understand this is above your pay grade. It should go up the channels to Mr. Byrne and to Secretary O'Rourke that it's not an option, even if the Federal Circuit is wrong. They've said what the law is and it needs to be complied with. But going back to Johnson itself, is it your understanding that the only way in which something can become topical, something applied topically can become systemic, is by the amount of the body to which it is topically applied?
Yes, Your Honor. That is definitely one of the ways to do it.
You just gave two different answers to the question. So my question is, and listen, I find Johnson ridiculously confusing. Okay?
Why not just leave it at ridiculous?
So my question is it your position, which may very well be right, I haven't figured this out yet, that the way, the only way, that something that is applied topically can become a systemic therapy is based on the amount of the body to which it's applied?
I would like to answer that twofold, Your Honor. Yes, that is definitely a way.
You've done it again.
Is there more than one way?
Yes, there's more than
one. So then the answer is no, that's not the only way something can become that's applied topically can become systemic. There are other ways that can happen.
What are they, please?
Right.
Perhaps, I think it was an example, perhaps if Judge Green, I'm not sure who said it, maybe it was you, Judge Allen, I apologize.
The cancer drug?
Not the cancer drug, the one where it was put on the foot, but the effect of it has to go through your entire system.
Perfect. Okay, that's exactly what I'm trying to get at here, right? So then, you and the appellant actually agree on this point, right? Which
yes,
is very important to me because I have to try to figure out how to apply Johnson. That the idea of I put it on 25% of my body topically, therefore it can become systemic. I'm not holding you to 25%, but a lot of the body, right?
Yes, sir.
That is a way we can convert it. There are others, so you guys are on the same page there. And it appears that you're on the same page because they agreed with what I said as well, which is if you put it somewhere topically, and it doesn't really matter where you put it because the way it operates is it cycles in your body, that's also a way that something can be converted from a topical application to a systemic therapy, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you think there are, what about the side effect?
Your Honor, our position is that VA does not rate based on the side effects of a medication. If you do have side effects, if you do get something secondary based on your treatment or based on a condition, then that's a secondary service connection claim.
But why would that necessarily have to be it? Right? Because we're not asking, there is a logic to that. But maybe what we're doing is we're using the side effect as a proxy for something else, right? Meaning we're using it as a proxy to determine whether a given treatment affects the body as a whole, right?
Yes, Your Honor, but our position is that we would not use side effects of a medication for that. We would do where the actual therapy itself, depending on how whether if it's injection orally, if it affects your entire system, your entire body, even just to treat that particular area, then it can be considered systemic.
So why would I understand that you've said that that's the position that you would take, right? But what's the principled reason for that, right? Because if the idea of, so let me try a principled reason.
Or aren't you underrating the person in the skin part, but accounting for symptoms somewhere else?
Well,
when you might need to do both.
So just to make this even more complicated for you, I'll say this, is that would a way to say draw the principled line you're talking about be something like this? If the medicine circles in my body, like we were just talking about, I just slap it on wherever and it goes around, that is a systemic therapy because the way in which it does what it's supposed to do is going through the body as a whole.
Yes, Sean, the therapy, not any
Whereas if you just put something on that caused a side effect, it caused a side effect through a mistake in the sense that wasn't the way the therapy was supposed to work. Is that sort of the way you're thinking of drawing the line?
Yes, Your Honor. And in our position is that under DC 7806, the regulation delineates between topical therapy and systemic therapy. If we were to follow appellant's position, there would basically be no topical therapy, and it would be surplusage under DC 7806. In this case, the board determines whether or not a therapy is topical treatment or systemic treatment.
How did they make that determination if, let's say, in the context of, like, Judge Allen was talking about, I slap the stuff on my face instead of on my foot, but it works by going through my foot. How does the board know that it works going throughout the body instead of only topically?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, in appellant's case, he treats his foot fungus by putting various creams on his foot.
Right, but it may still work, not by direct skin contact with the infected area. It may work by circulating through his bloodstream and treating, you know, somebody who has shingles, the problem is the inflammation of the herpes simplex virus in their, that it's not just the stuff they have on their skin, but they're putting anti-itch stuff on their skin too. So I'm just saying there could be things that you're applying topically, but as you've agreed, work by working their way through the skin that aren't just a patch, perhaps. And how does the board know the mechanisms for how a drug works as opposed to where it is applied?
Your Honor, we would follow what was held in Johnson, where it depends on the factual circumstances of the case. So if the board can look into physician's desk reference, things like that, to see that his various topical ointments affects the foot, he puts it on his foot fungus, he has athlete's foot, that's how he treats it, then our position is the board can make that factual determination. The board is certainly free that if they cannot answer whether or not a specific medication is systemic, they are free to get a medical opinion on that, in the case. the board is free to develop the record in that instance.
Okay, well, let's talk about the drugs that Mr. Burton uses. The appellant's counsel has asserted that it can cause coughing or body aches. How does the board know to attach those symptoms to Mr. Burton's topical treatment as opposed to the flu?
Well, Your Honor, I think that would put the burden on VA to determine whether in any rating claim, whether what medication, not just for foot fungus, whatever medication, what side effect an appellant can experience. However, in general rating whether or not, in this case, the foot fungus affects between 5 to 20% of his body. He uses it specifically just on his foot, even though he uses various creams. He uses it on his foot. I think the board...
Well, I guess in your determination, it wouldn't matter because you're saying the side effects don't count.
So yes,
Your Honor. The board wouldn't even have to make that correlation.
So, but what in the record here then would show that, let's assume we're with you and there are two ways to transform a topical application into systemic. One of them is size of the body, and we have evidence in the record here that the board considered that it was not on a giant part of the body.
Yes, Your Honor.
And assume side effects don't count for a second, we would still have to have some evidence that the board considered and provided an adequate statement of reasons and basis that it considered this other way, right, the way in which the drug operates.
Your Honor, in the DBQ, in the 2011 DBQ, the physician did note that there were no systemic agents used.
Well, but how can we divorce that from the fact that at least the people with whom the CMP physician might have been dealing, the people at the RO, had been told that something that is applied topically can never, under any circumstances, be systemic, right? So, you know, on a DBQ, it was sort of presented as an either-or situation. You could never sort of have something that transferred.
Your Honor, I believe the DBQ with his, in the 2010 exam, it did note that he had no side effects during the with his use of the various topical creams. That's at 485. And also with the 2011 DBQ. With the 2011 DBQ, the veteran did say, he was asked in 434, has the veteran treated with oral or topical medications the past 12 months? Yes. If yes, please check yes if it's systemic. And the physician didn't mark anything under that label.
And so, could you read me that question again? The what they had been treated with agents or whatever? Right?
Yes, Your Honor. It's on page 434 of the record. Has the veteran been treated with oral or topical medication in the past 12 months for any skin condition? And the physician marks yes. And then underneath that says, if yes, check all that apply. Systemic corticosteroids or other immunosuppressive medications, and there's no mark on that.
Isn't that a defect per se in this examination? If he's been taking one of those drugs that you just mentioned?
Your
corticosteroid?
Honor.
Isn't he taking one of those drugs?
Yes, Your Honor, but under Warren, it was determined that not all corticosteroids is systemic.
No, but you said that the physician left it blank.
Yes,
as to whether they were taking one of these drugs.
No, it's just whether or not it's systemic. Systemic corticosteroids or other immunosuppressive medications, whether or not the issue was systemic.
He didn't
or not
check
the
yes
was,
that they were systemic.
Yes.
He checked yes that they were topical.
He
didn't check it at all the way I understood it.
No, there's no check at all.
Okay. So,
but it says on the top of that, if yes, check all that apply. And there was nothing checked on that.
In this case, the board found that Mr. Burton took Benadryl near constantly. And you, in your brief, didn't address it in that way. Wouldn't that be a favorable finding that we can't ignore or reverse?
Our reading of the BVA decision, Your Honor, if you look at page 12, page 12 of the record of the RBA, on the last paragraph. So the board also notes that while the record demonstrates that the veteran has had constant or near constant treatment of this service-connected disability with topical creams and the use of antihistamines, it consistently reflects. So I believe it can be read to say that he has not had constant, that he had just used antihistamines. Now, the antihistamine use, the Benadryl use, in this case, the 2011 examination noted that he used it for less than 6 weeks, which would not give him the higher rating. However, as appellant pointed out, there are various records that it was a current medication. It was usually, and it's also treated, he also used Benadryl to treat another condition, urticaria. So the Benadryl was used for that as well.
Now, I know what the record says, okay. But looking at the language that you point to in the board decision, I really don't read it to say that they are somehow saying only the antihistamines are constant or near constant, but not the topical creams. So if I do read it that way, if you could just go with me there, what do I do with that sentence?
Your Honor, I do believe if you do not agree with our position in our brief that there isn't evidence in the record that he used it for more than 6 weeks, which is what's required under DC 7806, then I can see the court remanding it for the board to determine whether or not the Benadryl use is systemic and whether or not it can constitute a 30% rating. Because the Benadryl, similar to our discussion, Judge Allen, is taken orally. It's taken throughout the body, even though it's to treat his foot fungus as well as his other skin conditions.
And so in the briefs, the parties spent a fair bit of time going back, and this is on the Warren issue. We haven't talked about that much. But spent a fair bit of time talking about whether or not, my words, not yours, that sequencing of the question is important, meaning is something like an immunosuppressant or blah, 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 or is it systemic and it makes a difference about which analysis goes first? I mean, why isn't it just it doesn't matter which one goes first? They both have to be there. Something that isn't a corticosteroid or immunosuppressant but is like it still would have to be determined to be systemic. So you'd have to have both, and the fact that you don't do them in a certain order doesn't matter, right?
Your Honor, our position is that the board has to determine whether or not it's systemic. Once it's determined to be systemic, then the board can discuss whether or not it's similar to like corticosteroid or immunosuppressive.
That may not be what the Secretary would want the court to say, because then if the board were to say in a given case, well, this isn't like an immunosuppressant or corticosteroid, and therefore we don't have to do anything, if we adopted the rule you just said, the board would have committed error because it didn't first decide whether it was systemic. My point is, isn't it right that because they both have to be present, it doesn't matter what order one figures it out. If one wanted to look at something and say, it's not like an immunosuppressant because it's vinegar, so whether it's systemic or not doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which order we do them in. They both have to be present.
I apologize, Honor. Yes, that would be our position.
Okay.
Is the second inquiry, or whichever order it is, that it is like a corticosteroid, is that something the board is competent to do, or is that something a physician needs to opine on?
Your Honor, it would be, our position would be that it's based on the factual circumstances of the case. Again, if there's medical references that the board uses which can indicate that it is either corticosteroid or immunosuppressive drug.
But those aren't the only categories.
similar to it.
So if, how would the board know that vinegar is not an immunosuppressant-like substance?
Our position, Your Honor, is just that the board, if the board doesn't have the requisite knowledge to determine that, that they can get a medical opinion on that issue.
But wouldn't it, unlike, and I tended to agree with the way you phrased this on the first point, that on your view of the factual circumstances point about converting topical, you know, looking up a physician's desk reference might work. But if we take, is vinegar like a corticosteroid or immunosuppressant, it seems to me that allowing the board to make that determination would be a Colvin violation, wouldn't it? I mean, because wouldn't that really, that would require a medical judgment, wouldn't it? I mean, and I don't mean to say that definitively, but it just seems to me that that's something I would think would require some level of knowledge that would be beyond
pharmacology.
I mean, maybe a book, maybe I'll go look at the desk reference and it will say every once in a while, and oh, by the way, this is like an immunosuppressant or corticosteroid, but I'd be willing to bet on that one it probably wouldn't.
If they cannot base it on anything, if it's just their own medical judgment, then they would need to get a medical opinion. But it's basically just the various factual circumstances involved in whatever case they're rating under DC 7806.
And so here, you would agree that, and I think you said this to Judge Cholin, that if we don't buy the way that you read this sentence about the length of time for the Benadryls, we could say an error would be harmless or something. At least as to the Benadryl, we'd need to send it back to the board to figure out whether Benadryl is like these other things.
Yes, Your Honor, or whether or not it can constitute a systemic therapy since it's ingested orally and appears to affect the entire body.
This is kind of a bigger picture question about Johnson and the language that says that the parties agreed as to if it was applied on a large enough scale, it would be systemic. Doesn't that make kind of surplusage? Because if you're applying something topically over a large enough scale, you would in theory have a large skin condition, a large percentage skin condition. And since the regulation is percentage of the body or like a corticosteroid that's systemic or, you know, so is that really a good criteria that the Federal Circuit did? Because it's like there's a large portion of the body, or you're taking something, putting it on a large portion of the body, and that makes it systemic, so you satisfy criteria number two.
Your Honor, I believe that in this case, you're correct, Your Honor, in terms that if something affects your body in a small degree, you have a small amount. Since you do, such as in Appellant's case, it's just his foot, it's foot fungus. He has no functional effects, no effect on his employment, no effect on his daily activities. There's the 2010 and the 2011 exam said that. His current effects of the condition are itching, flaking, and damaged toes. So that's, and it's like it's under between 5 to 20%. He is rated at 10% because he is disabled at a 10% evaluation. The only way he can get higher percentage on that issue is if the medication that he uses, similar to that antihistamine, which could possibly be systemic.
I'm just trying to get at the topical application over a large area. It seems to me redundant of the regulations criteria that says if you have a rash or whatever, if your percent of the body affected, the entire body or more than 40% of the exposed area affected, or 20 to 40% of the entire body or 20 to 40% of exposed area affected. It seems to me a large portion of the body, I don't know what that would be, if it's 20 to 40, if it's more than 40, but it seems to me that it's being, again, to use the word proxy, by saying if you apply topically something to a large portion of the area, it's the same exact thing as if you have a rash over a large portion of your body. You would get a higher rating, actually, if your rash was considered bigger as opposed to the applicant. Like, are you aware of a situation where somebody would apply something topically over an area that isn't affected?
Your Honor, I was about to say that. I'm unsure. If there is a situation where you have it on 40%, but you have to apply it to your entire system.
Yeah, I didn't know what the basis was for the VA asserting that was one of the criteria in Johnson, and I didn't know if you had that as a
And to be fair to you this morning or this afternoon, you know, you are, and I, as I've said, I find Johnson inscrutable, and so your answer suggesting that that was not the only way in some measure relieves the tension of the example in Johnson of the large body, because if the Secretary's position had been that is the only way to convert something from topical to systemic, then that would be strange, because you wouldn't need it, because it would be, you'd get the higher rating anyways because you're putting it on that portion of the body under the other regulation. So I think that what Judge Sholin is pointing out is just another part of the sort of oddity of trying to figure out exactly what Johnson meant about this. So,
or if VA had some insight that I'm trying to find when they said that in Johnson.
Yes, Your Honor. I think it was just making the distinction of using systemic therapy versus topical therapy, that this, when you put it in a large enough body. Yes, yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Your Honor, there's two elements to determine whether a medication is a topical therapy. First, is it applied to a particular location? And second, does it affect only that location? Side effects are one very concrete way to determine whether a medication affects more than just that one particular localized area. We're not asking VA to rate the side effects per se. We are asking VA to consider the side effects as one example of a method to determine whether or not a medication affects more than just that particular area. For example, if a medication is applied to the toe and then causes dry mouth, that would be evidence of the medication affecting the body as a whole by causing some sort of dehydration. That's an example of how a medication applied to one particular area could affect the body as a whole.
So how would you respond to what I think is an interesting and sort of nuanced way of thinking about this Secretary's counsel presented, which is that the difference is that if the medicine gives you dry mouth, right, mm-hmm. that's in both of my hypotheticals, it's going to be dry mouth, you put it on your toe, get dry mouth, but in medicine A, the way it works is it cycles through your body. That's how it affects your toe, mm-hmm. right? Versus in option B, no, it actually affects your toe by actually
touching
it.
Right.
But a side effect is in some small portion of people, it will make your mouth dry. That's not how the medicine actually works. In other words, in that scenario, I think the Secretary's position, and if I'm putting words in her mouth, I apologize, Secretary's counsel's position is that in that latter situation, mm-hmm. you may be able to get secondarily service-connected for the dry mouth mm-hmm. if there's a connection to a treatment for a service-connected injury. But it doesn't make that treatment itself systemic because that's not the way the treatment is meant to affect the toe. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Your Honor. So in your first hypothetical where it works by working through the body, I think if that's how the medication always works, then that medication is always systemic therapy.
And I think you and the Secretary seem to be on the same page about
yes,
that.
Yes, Your Honor. So. In the second hypothetical where it causes a side effect, that's an example of how the medication is affecting the body as a whole. It would by its very nature, by affecting a different part of the body, not be affecting only that localized area, and therefore would be consistent with systemic therapy as defined by the Federal Circuit based on Dorland's. The board is incapable of determining whether symptoms are evidence of the systemic nature of the medication. As you correctly noted, this is a medical determination that would be a Colvin violation for the board to itself make without first asking a VA medical examiner or medical examiner the very nature of the medication. The board as attorneys are not capable of making that determination on their own without extra input from outside sources with medical expertise.
But before you sit down, and you finish your points, but before you sit down, I would like you to respond, if you could, to the Secretary's discussion of that portion of the DBQ. This is on a different point,
yes,
but on the no systemic agents in the mm-hmm. last 12 months. Just I want to get your position on that before you leave. So
there's two DBQs at issue, the 2010 and then the 2011. So in 2010, the only medication that Mr. Burton was taking was clotrimazine. And then in 2011, he had an additional number of medications. There was Benadryl, the clobetasol, so on and so forth. So in particular, during the 2011 examination, as I mentioned previously, the words systemic and topical do appear. Those are questions that the examiner was asked. However, they're mutually exclusive. Is it topical or is it systemic? And we know that that is what the DBQ was asking the examiner and what the examiner was answering to, because the VA's clinician's guide bears that out. It explains that it requests the examiner to state whether medications used are systemic or topical. It doesn't ask about systemic effects of the body as a whole. It doesn't discuss that topically applied medications can have systemic effects such that they are systemic therapies under the definition. And therefore, this DBQ is insufficient for the board to determine the issue at hand. For these reasons, Your Honors, we request that the court remand this case to the board to provide a medical opinion to determine whether Mr. Burton's medications are systemic therapies for purposes of the regulation. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be submitted for a decision. The court is now adjourned. We will come down and greet counsel.